Welcome to the Carve, a Monster Hunter podcast where you can bone up on hunting monsters, episode 100.
That bone up wasn't very episode 100 of you. Can I get another one?
Welcome to the Carve, a Monster Hunter podcast where you can bone up on hunting monsters, episode 100.
It's pretty good. Much right, better. Second take did a lot better. A
little gravel in that one. I'm your host, SBJ.
I'm Micah.
And we made it.
We did it.
We can retire now, put it on our tombstones.
At 100 episodes.
100 episodes of talking about Monster Hunter.
Did it.
Well, there's probably at least two episodes where we barely talked about Monster Hunter.
True. That's true. Do any of the Monster Hunter movie news episodes count?
No, but I was actually thinking about that before we started recording, that it's been a while since we've had Monster Hunter-related news.
It's true.
But that was kind of the same with Detective Pikachu.
You mean Monster Hunter movie-related news?
Oh, yeah. Where, like, Detective Pikachu was, like, everywhere, and then it went silent for 8 months, and people were like, oh, it's dead. It's gone. And then all of a sudden, we got a trailer.
We did. Soon. It's coming. I can feel it.
So Capcom, to celebrate our 100th episode, gave us the trailer to Monster Hunter. But since we're an audio podcast, we're going to just reenact it for you.
Perfect.
None of that is true. We do have some Monster Hunter news. There are some new weapon videos. This is a very weird way to announce like changes to your expansion, but they've been tweeting like 1 20-second video every day here about weapon changes. So we have a couple of them to talk about. Although sometimes it's, for me at least, it's a little hard to see the differences in weapons when you don't play that weapon a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert of weapons I don't play. And then Dauntless is now out on console. I believe it is the first ever console/PC game that had crossplay off the bat.
Like at launch.
At launch. I know Rocket League got there and Fortnite got there, but this is the first ever PC, Xbox, and PS4 at launch crossplay.
Sure. I actually don't know if that's true, but I believe you.
I think that's true. Okay. I think I might have stolen that from another podcast.
All right. Perfect.
So I believe I trust their sources. So I'm just regurgitating the news here. So we're going to talk a little bit about Dauntless as well. And we're going to do a throwback and wrap it off the episode with a Monster of the Week. We haven't really done since we kind of focused on bringing the show back to 30 minutes. It's our 100th episode. We're going to treat ourselves.
We got to bring it back.
Let's just start off with these weapon changes here. This is off Push Square. Capcom has started pumping out short weapon trailers for Monster Hunter World Iceborne, the game's upcoming expansion in September. We get a first proper look at the Clutch Claw, a new gadget that will allow you to mount monsters with ease and will add more mobility. And we have videos for the Greatsword, the Longsword, the Dual Blades, the Sword and Shield, the Hammer, and the Hunting Horn as of this recording. So only, what is that, 6 of the 14 weapons?
I believe they're still putting out vignettes for each weapon.
Yeah, I think it's been one a day, I think. One or two a day.
I think so as well.
I mean, we can kind of go through these. I took some notes here. The Greatsword, they highlighted. They said that they didn't. They just said that there would be new combos using the Clutch Claw, and that's like an ongoing theme in a lot of these videos where they use the word new combos with Clutch Claw to follow. I didn't see anything specifically new Greatsword wise. I'm sure anyone who plays the Greatsword, they're like, oh, this specific. 22 seconds in, that thing they did was new, but
yeah, there are new things. It's just, I mean, it if you're not playing it, if you haven't been playing that weapon, then sure, it's not going to be recognizable, but it's just, it's new things that come out of comboing off of these new mechanics. It's just new combos added into your standard flow. Think of it like Final Fantasy 14.
Okay.
You have your rotation.
Uh-huh. And they're adding a new...
They added a new section to your rotation.
I see. You just work it in.
Yeah.
Now you're speaking my language. you can move. You could probably talk about the longsword stuff, and I think I saw on both Twitter and just other social media that people were very excited about. I think the longsword changes seemed very obvious.
Yeah,
especially to somebody who didn't play longsword. The only thing I took away from it was they said the new move Eon Slash,
EI.
Sorry,
EI.
EA slash.
Oh.
You got to pay $3.99 per use.
That's how you get the slash, is it's a microtransaction.
Right.
Okay.
But you play the longsword, so you can probably speak to this video more than I can.
It looks cool. It's a new combo. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing as the other weapons, where it's a new string adding after the existing string once you mix in either Clutch Claw. I think in this case it's the Power Shot, the Slinger. The EI Slash comes after using the Power Shot unloading Slinger ammo. At least that's what I gleaned from the video. It looks nice, though. It looks like a new finisher. But it combos into the actual finisher, the skull. I can't remember. I always call it the anime slash. I can never remember the
anime
actual
slash.
Name. Skull Sunder? I don't know. Maybe that's also a Final Fantasy thing. It looks great, though. All of this looks really cool, but obviously, as a longsword main, I'm going to be more excited about anything new that's coming to the weapon that I main. I think what makes it seem different, or seem more new than the other things that they're showing in these vignettes, other than what they've shown for the hunting horn, is that they named it. It's definable as to someone who isn't aware of that weapon normally. When you say the new EI slash, that's recognizable as it's a new move. It's a new part of this. It's something new where you can't really point at that with the greatsword, I guess. Or the dual blades, or whatever.
Speaking of dual blades, they showed 40 seconds of dual blade stuff. 40 seconds of sword and shield stuff. Nothing about sauces yet, though.
No sauces.
Not yet.
We're looking for those. Give us the sauces, Monster Hunter.
Slather them up. They showed my main weapon, the hammer. And besides the Clutch Claw stuff, I kind of started off, I didn't see anything specific. There was like a role that this is very hard to explain in audio form. There's like a different kind of role the hammer user does after like a combo that's like slightly different. But yeah, like the slinger, like bringing yourself closer, connecting. I think like beneficially for the weapons, if you can hook yourself to like the tail to slice it, or hook yourself to the head to KO it, that seems logical.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
I think logically on paper. The hunting horn was the other weapon out of the six here that I think people got excited for, because they actually did go out of the way to say there was a new buff. I don't have the buff in front of me. What did they call it? The bubble?
Echo wave.
Oh, the bubble sparkles.
Bubble wave. Bubble sparkles. Echo sparkles. Take your pick.
So that looked cool. Did they say what it did? It, like, something affected your team.
It looks like a protective bubble.
An echo wave attack to create special bubbles to buff your teammates.
Yeah, it doesn't say specifically what buffs you get.
Okay, so I wasn't far off. He does, the narrator does go, bubbles?
Yeah, it's a question mark, definitely.
Like, where did I get the bubbles from?
Maybe it's our insignificant or untrained American brains. But I think we both had a moment of is the narrator's socks.
I did not have this moment. That was all you.
I definitely had that moment. It sounded maybe a little bit like socks doing a voice. And I had to go to his Twitter and look. Somebody else asked him, and it's not him.
Oh, okay. Somebody did just @reply him and said, yes. Was this you?
They said, is this you? And he mentioned who it was.
Didn't when he was on the show, he say that like somebody in the office just did it?
Oh, I'm sure it's, yeah, I'm sure it's an employee, most likely.
I would hope so.
I
would hope somebody's getting paid for these videos.
I'm assuming not someone that they hired out. Like a contract or something. I'm assuming that this person works at Capcom regularly. The voice actor for the trailers is Brian Ayers. I hope I'm saying that right. Brian Ayers. He's the senior European brand manager at Capcom. He does work at Capcom in the office and is not just hired on voice talent. Great voice talent, though. Really puts the oomph and the question mark on Bubbles.
Bubbles?
I'm a new fan of Brian Ayers. I hope I'm saying that right.
This is off Game Revolution. I'm going to skip most of the article because it's just recapping the basics of Iceborne here. But alongside the aforementioned Master Rank, Iceborne will be adding several new moves that players can do with each type of weapon. This includes the multiple slinger improvements, as their projectiles can now be used with every weapon drawn. This will make it much more versatile, and it can even be used with the clutch claw in order to grapple onto large foes. Once on them, they can use the new flinch shot ability to hit the monster in the head repeatedly and force them to barrel forward into traps or walls. This looks like it will make the core gameplay more versatile and looks to be a fantastic addition. Similar to how Destiny 2 handled its major expansions, Monster Hunter World Iceborne will be available physically as a pack with the main game. This is a great way to jump into 2018's greatest technical achievement, and it's a great value since essentially you get World for $20. For those who want to go digital, they have two separate options. They can get the base expansion or the deluxe version that includes plenty of outfits and an added bonus for $10 more.
Exciting.
Exciting.
I, too, am excited for Iceborne.
I think these little vignette trailers are neat, but I have gotten to the point with anything is I just want bullet points. I just want to read about it.
Yeah.
Like, even the Mario Maker 2 stuff, when Nintendo did their 15-minute Direct, I was like, all right, but what if I just spent 2 minutes reading about all the changes instead of sitting here for 15 minutes?
The only change you need to know is that there's co-op, but not with your friends.
Yeah.
That's the only bullet point you need for that.
Was there not? There wasn't even co-op in the first one, though.
No.
So does that...
So they added co-op.
Okay.
But not with your friends. But only with random strangers.
This is what I don't understand. It's our 100th episode. Let us talk about Mario for a hot second.
Yeah.
Is all these people were very excited for Mario Maker 2.
Correct.
And they were planning on buying it no matter what.
I don't know if that's 100% true.
Why?
Let me tell you a small tale about my dear wife, Rebecca.
Okay.
Who was actually excited for Mario Maker. Had never played Mario Maker, the first one. She was excited for Mario Maker 2.
Okay.
She was looking forward to possibly playing with friends of hers.
What do you mean by playing with friends? Like making like each co-op. Other making each other?
Oh. She said, she specifically said to me in the car while we were driving one day.
Okay.
I kind of want Mario Maker 2. And I
this
said,
this is what you and your wife talk about.
Why?
Just randomly brings up future Nintendo games.
We were talking about games that were coming out.
Oh, okay.
And she said, I kind of want Mario Maker 2. And I said, why? And she said, if it has co-op, I want to play with friends. I want more games that I can play with my friends on my Switch. And I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm sure it will have co-op. It does, but it's not. She came home the other day and I said, did you hear about Mario Maker 2? And she said, no. What happened? And I said, there's co-op. And she got excited, and I said, but you can only play with random strangers, and you absolutely can't play with your friends specifically.
You can't if you're on the same couch.
She said, then I'm not buying it.
Okay. I was thinking more so for the people who put a million hours in the first one, making and playing levels.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of those people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They announce Mario Maker 2, and everyone loses their mind, and then they say co-op, and then like a week later they say, oh, but it's, you can't match make, like it's random, and then yeah. Everyone's like, I'm not buying it. But that's like not why they were initially excited before it was released. They were excited for the slopes and the keys and the...
Oh, I'm sure there's probably multiple aspects to this audience, right?
No, that's not how the internet works.
Okay,
everyone
right.
is
my mistake.
Everyone is clumped into
it's
one
just one group,
one mob.
Speaking of mobs, how can we get this back to Monster Hunter? Okay, how can we pull this back in?
I got you.
All right, thank you.
Two different mobs on the internet.
All right,
one Monster Hunter World. The other, Dauntless.
Okay.
Which should you play?
Why not both?
This is off Polygon.
For the record, that's the actual title of the article.
Yes.
Which should you play?
That's some good SEO right there.
Yeah.
I'm sure many people are going to the internet right now and typing Monster Hunter versus Dauntless.
Yeah.
Although one is technically free, so you don't really have an excuse not to try it, I suppose. They're going to break down some stuff, which is actually, ironically, our 100th episode, but we're probably going to spend some time here on Dauntless, because it is new, comparable to Monster Hunter.
Sure.
It's the age-old Digimon versus Pokemon, even though they're very different.
Yeah. I don't know if these are that different, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess we're going to talk about that. Okay, so they're going to break down some stuff. Tracking. In Dauntless, you are dropped off a floating... You're dropped off on a floating island before setting off to find the behemoth.
By what? A bus?
No bus.
Oh, okay.
It's like it's checking. They just stole an airship from Final Fantasy.
Okay. Is it a bus airship or?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Right. Maybe there could be, hopefully in the future, some skins you can buy to change
Fortnite,
the ship.
Fortnite DLC.
To turn into a bus.
Fortnite Dauntless collab.
I would be into that. Okay, so players are usually spread out. They use a lantern to point in the direction of the behemoth. When one player finds it, they have the option to signal flare to show where players are. Monster Hunter World, we're familiar with this. You track your play. Depending on the monsters, you find footprints or scraps or feathers. And then once you find enough, it usually points out where the monster is on the map. So you've played Dauntless.
Yes. Very briefly.
How much? Like a couple hours?
I logged in.
Okay.
I connected my Epic account. That's what it is, right?
Yes.
Yes. And
your PlayStation account, because you played on PS4.
Yep. Connected my Epic account. I logged in. I did the little tutorial part where you hunt a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Behemoth. Sorry. Daunt a behemoth? I don't know what you're
calling it. Yeah, daunt a behemoth.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then I got to the hub. I did some of the little tutorial quest things in the hub, like making gear and weapons, and then went out on another daunt. Yeah.
Okay.
For another behemoth, and killed it. It matchmaked me into a group
okay.
with three other people. I'm assuming, unless it was tutorial.
No, they're real
NPCs.
People.
Okay. We did the daunt.
Okay.
And then I came back and I said, this is pretty good. I want to play more of it later. And then I logged out and I haven't logged back in since.
I've put about 40 hours into it.
Oh my God.
I bought the battle pass.
Oh no. you're all in.
I spent $45.
Oh my God. That's more than $1 per hour, by the way.
I'm getting
there.
For
a free game.
I'm getting there. Okay, hold on. So on PlayStation,
mm-hmm.
they have their paid currency. It's a penny. A penny is ultimately a penny. That's called platinum in that game. So a thousand platinum is like $10.
Yeah.
But on PS4, there's like a welcome pack.
Yep.
And that's 1,000 platinum, $10, but it's for $5.
Okay.
So you're getting double the platinum. How could you not? How you're
but
literally
it's a one-time purchase.
It's a one-time purchase. Otherwise, if you want 1,000 platinum, it's $10.
And how much is the battle pass? Isn't it like 1800 platinum?
Okay, so there's two battle passes.
Because it's like Fortnite.
Yeah, and or any other game with battle passes.
Fortnite's the only one I know.
Apex has a battle pass.
Oh yeah,
it's really bad though. The regular battle pass is $1,000.
Okay,
$10.
Yep.
The cool thing about Dauntless is I don't know if Fortnite does this. I actually have never played Fortnite. I've seen people play it, but you can earn. There's 50 levels in the battle pass.
Yep.
You can earn, like, if you earn 25 levels and you decide to buy the battle pass, it gives you all your rewards you've earned up to that point.
Yes. Fortnite does the same thing.
Okay, Fortnite does that too. That makes sense.
Yeah. For the record, for clarification, for anybody that might not know, because I feel like there's probably a good amount of Monster Hunter people listening that probably have never played Fortnite, or maybe this, but the two battle passes you can buy are the just normal battle pass, mm-hmm. and then an elevated one that adds, it like bumps you immediately to 25 of the 50 levels.
15 in Dauntless.
15 of the 50 levels?
Yes.
Oh, that's a ripoff then.
Well, I bought it. so
how much is it? How many platinum?
It's 2,200, so $22.
Oh boy.
So this
I think I think Fortnite's $20 for 25 levels, maybe? Maybe I got that wrong.
Okay, so yeah, so you have what's called the Elite Track, which is the $10 one. You also get, so for $10, you get the Battle Pass.
Mm-hmm.
You get access to the exclusive rewards of the thing you earn for the Battle Pass. You also get two bonus loot rolls and a 50% boost to Mastery experience. I don't know what the two bonus loot rolls are.
I'm assuming after the Daunt is over.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. After the Daunt is over. The 50% mastery. So think of mastery like the field guide in Monster Hunter. Of like, oh, you've hunted Tungalos, you know, 400 times. So we've shown you everything about it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've only hunted it once, you might not know where the break parts are. So it adds more mastery experience. I believe that's what that is.
Okay.
So the Elite Track bundle is normally 4,000 platinum for $40.
Oh boy, that's a lot.
But this is how they get you. It was on sale for $2,400, so $24.
Okay.
You get the Elite Trainer Track. You skip to level 15, or what? So I was at level 2 when I bought it, so I skipped to 17.
Okay.
And it's currently 40% off. So literally, the only thing you're getting with that is a 15%. Or a 15 level skip, because I purchased.
That's a lot to skip just 15 levels out of 50.
It is.
Oof.
But I'm an idiot. So I bought the $5 one.
Okay.
You had to. It's such a good deal.
$5.
$5 for $10.
That's five McDoubles at McDonald's.
You're literally giving them $5 and they're giving you $5 back.
How that works.
And then you're handing back that $5 they just gave you.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, geez, I need $14 more to get this premium battle pass, right?
Yeah, of course.
But now I feel like a sucker, because if I want $10 worth of stuff, I got to pay $10 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
But they have this $40 bundle.
Oh, no.
And you get this cool gear. And for $40, you get $50 of platinum.
Okay. So that's enough. Well, how much? What is it? You said it's like a penny per?
Yeah.
So $50 is what?
So $40 got me $50 of platinum.
So how many platinum is that?
5,000 platinum.
Oh, so it's not a penny to penny. It's It's like a
1-to-1.
Yeah. No, it's not 1-to-1. $50 for 5,000 platinum is 1 to 100, right?
Well,
$1 for 100 platinum.
The zeros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had the zeros on.
You destroyed the decimal.
Yep.
$50 then becomes 5,000.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yes. Sure. Math.
Either way, I spent math. $40 to get $50 worth of in-game credit, and I got an exclusive spawn thingy. So when you spawn in, your character looks cooler.
Yep, I saw that.
I got an exclusive banner. Under my name, it says I'm an Arc Slayer.
Okay. From Destiny?
No, an Arc Strider.
Oh, okay.
And then I got an exclusive firework, which is your flare. You can customize your flares.
Yeah, so that you can shoot a banana into the air.
Right now I shoot a cat into the air.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Didn't you get you spent $45, you don't have a custom flare?
I do, it's a cat. Well, that was separate. I had to spend $2 for that. But I already had the money. I already had the platinum.
Okay, because you spent $50 in platinum.
Right, and I only spent $24 in the past.
Yeah.
See, this is all fine.
Okay.
I got money to spend now. See, when the next battle pass comes out, I got the money.
That's true. You're in for at least 2 months at this point.
Hey, I'm level 27 on the battle pass now. Halfway there. Wait, what were we talking about?
We were talking about how much money you spent in this game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we were talking about how much you played.
Yeah.
Which is two daunts, I'm sorry.
Yeah, two daunts.
I've played too many daunts.
Yeah, 40 hours worth of daunts.
I'm very daunted, so my opinion might be different. But the tracking stuff, that's what we left off at.
Yeah.
There's not really tracking in Dauntless. You're kind of just dropped into a bigger arena.
Okay. That's kind of how it felt, but a little bit more overgrown.
Yeah, I mean, the monster does flee, usually at one point.
Okay.
And then you just find it again. There's, like, no... It doesn't drop scales or footprints or feathers.
Sure.
So there's not really, like, a tracking thing, which... There's, like... I mean, there's arena quests in Monster Hunter, so there's plenty of times where you just drop in and fight a monster.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's... I don't know anyone who loves the tracking, but I know we've heard people that were upset that the paintball was gone and stuff, and I don't know.
I like the tracking portion. I don't particularly care that the paintball's gone.
But if they got rid of the tracking portion of Monster Hunter, you wouldn't be like, oh, gone forever. Because, like, I would argue that Kolv is one of my favorite fights in that entire game. There's no tracking.
Yeah, but there's progression through Kolv where you're hunting it.
It
requires more involvement rather than just you show up and just start bludgeoning the thing. Which is what my limited experience with Dauntless has felt that maybe it's just because it was so early game that we just showed up and beat the heck out of this thing, and then it was over.
Like, yeah.
There was almost no real challenge to it. And I'm sure that it gets more challenging.
Oh, it does, yeah.
But it felt like there was no challenge. Like, it didn't feel like when you first encounter a monster in Monster Hunter at super low level, where there is an intimidation factor to it, and you don't know what it's going to do, and you don't know when you get hit, and it takes a lot of health from you, you get concerned. And you kind of formulate a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
This was just, we dropped in and just beat it up and then left and it was over.
Yeah.
I was never at any point intimidated or feeling like I had to formulate a game plan or feeling like maybe it was going to do too much damage to me. Everything that it did for damage was super low and I wasn't concerned at any point. There wasn't really much of, like, a challenge factor to it. The combat feels really crisp, but that aspect of it didn't feel, like, that build-up that you get with Monster Hunter by tracking something and then seeing it for the first time, and it's kind of terrifying because you don't know what it's going to do, and then it starts to hurt you, and then you're concerned. That build-up wasn't there for me for Dauntless.
Okay. I 100% agree with you until, like, a certain point.
Okay.
There's, like... I think it's after the fourth or fifth hunt.
Daunt.
Daunt, I'm sorry.
Come on, get it together.
They kind of throw it, like, you kind of have free reign of doing whatever.
Sure.
And there is, like, your, I think the first, we're just going to compare it directly to World, because I think that's what a lot of people's first Monster Hunter game.
Sure.
But I think that, like, first fight for a lot of people is Anjanath. where Anjanath is way harder than Great Jaegerus.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's very intimidating. It does a lot of damage real fast.
Mm-hmm.
There is a monster. I can't remember this. So the one, my biggest complaint right now in Dauntless, none of the monsters seem super memorable.
Yeah. I can't even remember the two that I fought, to be completely honest.
The one that feels like Anjanath is like this flying, it's a giant insect. It's almost like a scorpion and a hornet combined.
Okay.
And it has two really cool things about it. One, it can turn invisible, and it is like straight up invisible.
Oh, interesting.
It's not like that bad Halo invisible where you're like, I can clearly see you.
Yeah.
You can hear it, and okay. If you hit it, it'll flicker.
Okay.
So if somebody hits it, they're like, okay, there it is.
Interesting.
And the other thing that it does is it has when it hits you, this is a really cool thing that Monster Hunter doesn't do, which makes that fight more memorable, is it has a status condition where it wounds you, which sounds very familiar to like bleeding.
Okay.
But if your stamina depletes fully,
yeah,
then you take damage.
Oh, okay.
So you have
that's like similar to bleeding, right?
Yeah, so, well, bleeding's always going to happen until you crouch, and then crouching makes it go away.
Right. But you don't, if you heal within that window, then you heal that damage out.
Yeah.
Like, if you get rid of bleeding, there's still a window where you can heal, and that damage doesn't...
Oh, yeah.
...actually take effect.
Right. And then the bee thing has a thing where it surrounds you with bees, and that feels like bleeding.
Okay.
And then you have to, like, I think somebody can hit the bees off you, or you can hit the bees off yourself.
Sure. Like snowman.
But that was the first fight where I was like, oh, this game's hard. Like, we're all dying.
Okay.
And it's not that much farther after, like, the first couple monsters.
Yeah.
It is, like, the jump from Great Jaegerus to Anjanath, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know for... It's hard to say as people who've played Monster Hunter for a long time and have played a lot of it. I guess what that experience would have been like had this been my first behemoth daunting game.
Uh-huh.
But I know people that had never played Monster Hunter before when they were playing World for the first time had trouble with things like Baroth or, you know, hunts that happened prior to the Anjanath bump in difficulty. And I guess I just didn't feel that yet. And maybe I take your word for it that it's there, but I just don't know for people who are new to this type of gameplay style if that is maybe a deterrent or if it is misleading that it's as easy as it is initially, but I guess I need to play more of it to really get a grasp on what that feels like.
I mean, like, when I first played it and I, like, messaged you, I was like, I don't think I like this.
Yeah.
Because, like, the jumping feels kind of floaty.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a thing where if you, at least on PlayStation, I'm sure on PC you hold down a button, but you hold down the R button to run.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, totally different than the, you know, click in.
Sure.
To sprint. And I think I like the running better.
I mean, that's what it used to be in older Monster Hunters.
The running?
Yeah, like the trigger to run, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't... I mean, I don't think it was like that in 3. I don't remember 3. I mean, I remember 3, but I don't remember the specific controls.
I think it was in the...
In 3DS. 4U, yeah. Didn't you hold the R button?
Yeah, I think you hold the trigger to run. I'd have to... It's been so long, I'd have to...
Like, have it in my hands, yeah.
It did take a little bit to get comfortable with the controls because it doesn't do a really great job of pointing out like here's what you need to do. When I get into the map and it doesn't tell me here's how you run, the first thing I'm doing is figuring out how to run
because
I don't want to walk through this tutorial map.
Well, also like my other complaint is at least sitting on my couch and looking at my TV, they picked like the worst font ever, and it's like really kind of hard for me to read.
What did you compare it to when you were texting me about it? You said something specific, like Maybe you said like early 2000s MMO or something is what you called it.
Yeah.
The like UI.
Yeah, the UI is not particularly great. Although it's like grown on me.
Yeah.
It just seems very like I even said that about what is it called? Sekiro. Sekiro, where I was like watching somebody play on Twitch and I was like, why is the health bar just literally a bar?
And I explained to you that it's literally always been that way.
Does it just look bad?
They've just never changed what their UI looks like
in
any
like,
of the Soulsborne games.
Monster. Okay, so like comparing like UIs between Monster Hunter and Dauntless, Monster Hunter has this very elegant, very, I don't want to say like old style.
Oh, like.
It's UI is almost like you're reading a Lord of the Rings book or something.
Sure, like old worldy.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
And it looks really good and it's very polished. And then Dauntless is very, not like mobile appy, but very something.
Say it. 2000s MMO. You were 100% right. And when you said that, I like laughed about it. And then when I booted it up, I instantly felt that. I don't particularly have a problem with it. I think it looks fine.
I think
but
it's fine.
It was funny because it was 100% accurate.
But I will say, okay, so like things that caught me that I really liked, which I think is why I wanted to talk about Dauntless so much, because I think that it is closer to Monster Hunter than something like
God Eater. Yeah.
Because the more I've watched God Eater, I was like, this really isn't like Monster Hunter.
Sure, yeah.
It's
not really.
And like
God Eater 3 specifically, I think, is very.
Tons of people compared Yo-Kai Watch to Pokemon, and they're not even.
No, they're not the same thing.
They're not even close to the same thing.
I mean, it's the same. They're the same thing in that, like, one is you're fighting giant things that are outside of the realistic realm of capability, and the other is you're capturing things and using them to fight. Like that's the that's really the correlation. There's not much else beyond that.
But
this is very much.
These are very much similar games.
Yes.
It's almost, I would compare these games like comparing, this is going to be a sound, bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
I would compare these games like comparing Mario Kart to Crash Team Racing.
I can see that, sure.
They're both like racing games, but the way like your car feels, like they're both arcade racers, but the way your car feels, the way the items are different, the way the tracks are different. And then the way that, like, your drifting is different.
Yeah. The concept is 100% the same.
Right. So that's what I would say.
The content is what's different.
One of the things that drew me in, we talk about Destiny a lot, is they do the thing that Monster Hunter doesn't, which I hate, is, like, Monster Hunter drops you into this empty hub.
Oh, the
with all of these NPCs, and it's just this giant hub, and I've complained about this since day one, that I just don't think it's efficient. Like, I hate going up two floors just to eat some food, and I know you can take the elevator, but it still feels like I'm running up the stairs.
Sure.
And Dauntless drops you into this open world that literally feels like the hub from Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Like, you see other players moving around. It feels like you have a reason. Like, it feels like in Dauntless, if you're waiting for somebody to, like, do something or they're upgrading their gear,
mm-hmm.
Like you can collect the little ninja things that are floating around. There's 10 of them a day you can collect. You can see other people like emote or have their gear. And in Monster Hunter, it's just not like that.
And that's part of it's that the floating ninja things is part of the season, right?
Yeah.
It's like all ninja themed.
Which I just, it just bothers me because like, that's what I care about. And like, yeah, you can go up to the gathering hub and you can arm wrestle and eat and do all that, but then you have to leave to do your weapons, you have to leave to go check your plants, you have to leave to buy, barrel bombs.
Sure.
So, like, that disconnect is really frustrating, and that is something I feel like Monster Hunter should hit on.
Yeah, I agree to some extent. I think, for me, the best solution would be to have the hub, the gathering hub, be identical to the offline hub so that you can choose to either be in the hub with other people or by yourself. Because sometimes I just want to go on and play. I don't want to interact with people. I don't want to, like,
but you can.
I
do, that.
But, you, but sometimes
I
just,
I don't want to play with anyone. Leave me alone in my multiplayer hunting games.
No, I mean, sometimes there's just like, I want to get things done. There's specific things that I want to do. I just want to do the like daily or weekly bounties if it's an event. I just want to get those things done and out of the way. And I can do them kind of quickly by myself sometimes. And it's nice to not always be connected.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want... I don't mind it in Destiny, and I don't think I mind it in this necessarily. But if the option is there, I think that's important to allow people to have that option.
But
you could not always be connected.
You could always go off. You could always be invisible in Destiny and
sure
do all your stuff and not have anyone join your party or see that you're on or do whatever. I mean, obviously the hub will still have other people in it.
Sure.
But
in there screaming at their mom and yelling at you.
Well,
know.
What's the likelihood that me and you got put in the same hub and I'm like, wait a minute. Micah said he wasn't on tonight. And here he is emoting with this other dude. Petting a poogie.
I just like that the option is there for in Monster Hunter World for the single player portion of just day-to-day workflow, I guess is the best way to describe it. Like, I can go and look at my gear and do whatever and interact with NPCs or change out my loadouts or whatever and not have to have a million people in there interacting and feel like I'm a jerk because I'm not interacting with everybody
yeah.
else, or I'm not joining in on whatever hunt, or they're asking to me to join in on a hunt or whatever. I'm not saying I don't like doing hunts with people, but sometimes you just want to get in and do your thing and get out. I think that the best solution would be if the gathering hub had the ability to do everything that you can do in the single player hub,
or just like
be able to work on your weapons and gear, like have a blacksmith, be able to check your plants, be able to buy and sell things, all of those things, pick up quests. Well, I mean, you can pick up
bounties. I'm sorry.
Sure. Be able to do all of those things in the online hub as well as the single player hub, and make it more easily accessible.
Which we bring that up because I would hope Iceborne has something of that.
Sure.
Because in, like, For You or Generations Ultimate, I can do all that stuff in an older hub.
Yeah.
Like, I can buy stuff. I can grab stuff. I can upgrade, change armor.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, you change armor. I mean, like, buy, purchase.
Yeah. I think that ease of access, too, is important. Like you said, you hate having to take the elevator up two floors to eat food. And that's it. Like, I think something, a good example is Splatoon is a good example, actually, because you can access any aspect of the main hub just with a button press.
Oh, the menu.
By accessing something in the menu. You just go to the menu, pick whatever area of the hub you want to go to, and it teleports you there.
You could say, like, oh, well, in Dauntless, you have to run to the back to get to the person who makes armor. But
yeah.
I guess, like, the thing about that is, at least I'm running past other people and seeing interesting things every time. Whereas in like Monster Hunter, I'm climbing those two flights of stairs.
Sure.
And not seeing
yeah.
anyone.
I don't know what I always wonder when there's discussions about, we talked about this a little bit with Pokemon and your least favorite game and my favorite game, Heart Gold or Soul Silver, and weird design decisions. And I always try to think about whenever I'm thinking about design decisions that don't seem to make sense to us, how those design decisions maybe were impacted. Like, thinking about it, yes, it's cool to go into a hub and see somebody who's been playing 200 hours and has this amazing gear that you've never seen before, but also, at what point does that become kind of like spoiler territory for someone who has never even seen the monster that gear came from? Or isn't that far in the game and hasn't, you know, where does that sit in like spoiler territory? And maybe the design decision was to make it less accessible to see those things if you don't want to see those things. If you're playing with a group and you're progressing through it together at a normal pace rather than just jumping in and seeing someone who's HR 999.
Isn't that the whole point? Like, there's literally no difference between, like, HR 49 and HR 999 besides that person played more and did the same repetitive thing over and over.
And got to Xenogiva and has Xenogiva gear, and you've never even seen Xenogiva. Like, right.
I don't know. You're in a game where you're going to hunt the same things a million times and then dye your stuff or transmog your stuff or whatever. I don't know.
It's a weird that's the point that I'm making, though, is like, it's a weird, maybe there is a design decision there to not make that as accessible.
I feel like a lot of design decisions are, that would be cool, but we're out of time and we gotta ship this game.
Also possible. But this is a really good discussion, though, because it is something that's cool and it is something that could improve in Monster Hunter. And like with anything, I think that having close competition like Dauntless is important because it can highlight the things that maybe weren't thought about or weren't done as well in Monster Hunter so that they can learn and grow from it.
Yeah.
And it's that age-old saying, competition begets, what is it? Help me out here. Improvement? I don't know.
I mean, obviously competition.
Competition
helps.
Breeds creativity. I guess that's maybe the...
That could be an expression, I'm sure. I know the one thing I was thinking about the entire time. So Dauntless has, I want to say, 6 weapons. Monster Hunter is 14.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Big difference.
Are they
similar weapons? I know some of them are, right?
Okay, so there's the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say...
Just sword. Not long sword, not great sword, just sword.
It's probably a certain kind of sword. I can't remember.
That was what I played, and it's...
That's what they start you with.
It just feels like a sword.
It is way faster than a great sword.
Yeah.
I would almost say it's long sword-esque. Yeah. In its mobility. The second is they have the God of War dual blades on chains.
The chain blades.
Which it's funny because my wife, her favorite weapon ever since 3U was the dual blades.
Yeah.
And I said, she was watching me play Dauntless and she was like, I love the way this looks, which you can hate the Epic Engine all you want.
Yeah.
Fortnite looks like Fortnite.
It does. Yep.
Dauntless uses that Epic Engine.
Yeah.
So it is very cel shady, Fortnite-y. It's like an aesthetic.
Cartoony. It's a cartoony aesthetic. I like it. I think the art style is neat.
I think it looks good too. I have no problem with it. I was one of the people that loved the way Wind Waker looked.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were like, I want the realist. I want blood coming out of Link's eyes. Look, I was cool with the cel shaded stuff. But she loved the way it looked, and she was watching me play, and she asked me how I liked it, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about it yet, but I think I like it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, here are the dual blades in this game. I'm assuming that's 2 swords. They have chains.
Yeah. You wield them in one hand each.
I was like, do you want to try it? And she said, sure. And she instantly loved it. She's like, wow, this feels really good. I really like this. She's like, this is fast and fun, and
yeah.
I don't think she said she's never playing Monster Hunter again.
Oh, of course.
No, she just said she came away saying she really liked it and it felt good.
This is how it happens.
There's a hammer, which I instantly was like, I need to play this hammer.
Of course,
I hate it.
Really?
What
is it about this hammer that you hate?
So you know how
as a hammer main in Monster Hunter,
do you know how they took a lance and they put a gun in it?
Yeah.
And they called it the Gun Lance.
Yeah, sure.
In Dauntless, they took a hammer and they put a gun in it.
Oh, interesting.
And they just called it a hammer.
I don't know. That sounds cool to me. help me understand why it sucks.
So I think this will get to the weapon that I ended up liking.
Okay.
I think what I liked about that, what I love, this is also why I encourage a lot of our listeners to play Dauntless. One, it's free.
Yeah.
2, I think it'll make you appreciate and realize why you like the weapons you do in Monster Hunter.
Sure.
But I will say, like, I think the reason I like the hammer is because of the mobility of it compared to the greatsword. Once you lock in a charge for the greatsword, your feet are planted, and I hate that feeling.
Okay.
And I like that I can charge this very heavy weapon and move with it.
Okay.
And then, you know, smash and knock out a monster.
Sure.
The hammer in this game is it feels weighty, but you're using the bullets to like propel yourself, and you're using them to like charge and shoot.
Wait, which way are the bullets going that you're propelling yourself?
I'm not really sure, but okay. Like you can run and shoot a bullet and like fly up into the air for a bit.
What in the world is this trajectory?
Really cool.
What are these physics?
But I'm super bad at it.
Okay.
And it doesn't have like that running smash thing. Another weapon does. But it also has this cool mechanic. So every weapon in Dauntless has like a ultimate.
Yeah.
And it depends on how fast you get it. So I don't know if you played with the sword, but mm-hmm. the ultimate is you press on PS4, you press R1. And then your sword becomes like that sword from Legend of Zelda, where do you remember in Link's Awakening, yep. if you have full health, your sword shoots like a little beam out? It literally does that.
Oh, I did that through the whole thing.
So that's like the best way I can describe it. If you ever played Legend of Zelda, you have full health, your sword shoots a beam. That's what the sword does in Dauntless, which is really cool and very easy to like anybody who's played Zelda would be like, I know what this does.
It's you charge up the ability to get that ultimate, and it seems to charge pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. So that's another thing is like I feel like Dauntless. So this is not like you either like this or you don't. And I think people who like have to mention Dark Souls on episode 100.
Oh, we already did a couple times. So have at it.
People play Dark Souls because they like to feel powerless. I feel. Like in Dark Souls, you never feel more powerful than the things you're fighting.
I think that's not necessarily true. I think the enjoyment in Dark Souls is how powerful you feel when you actually take down the thing.
But
that
you
you're
always
fighting.
Feel like you're at a disadvantage, I feel like.
Yes.
And that's, I feel like, the Monster Hunter thing.
But it forces you to strategize more.
Yes. And again, I think that's the Monster Hunter thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always feel like I've gotten as strong as I could before I fought Anjanath.
Yep.
And I'm still getting my butt kicked by Anjanath. But once I take it down, it feels super good.
Yeah, I love that.
Whereas in Dauntless, I feel like my disadvantage is just not knowing the fight. But I don't feel like I'm powerless. I just feel like, oh, I'm an idiot and I keep making mistakes.
Sure.
But like with the supers or the ultimates or whatever they call them, I feel like because you do those so often, you do consistently feel powerful, which is like a complete, again, it goes back to like Mario Kart versus Crash Bandicoot. Like, do you want more power-ups? Do you want less power-ups? Do you want the blue shell? Do you not want the blue shell in your games?
Yeah.
And this kind of feels like,
give me that blue shell. I want to go from first to eighth.
In Dauntless, it feels like you're getting the blue shell a lot.
Oh,
because you're getting your super so often. And it feels good to do that.
But I want to get the blue. I want to get hit with the blue shell a lot. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm always in first. So.
Oh, I see. I understand. So like the hammer's ultimate, I guess, is you press the R1 and
shoots a blue shell out.
And it shoots a. It's really crazy how they did it. They stole first from Link's Awakening. Now they're stealing from Mario Kart. There's like a little meter that goes. You ever play a golf game?
Yeah.
Where you have to like stop.
Yeah, you gotta stop at the.
It's
the
literally
peak
that
of the
golf mini game. Anytime during the fight, you can press R1 to start the little golf mini game, and if you stop it in the center, then you instantly get all your bullets back.
Oh!
But if you miss the center,
oh, it's like the reload in Gears of War.
Yeah, I think so. If you miss it, all of a sudden your character goes really slow and has to like manually put in the bullets. Yep.
Yeah, that was like the reload in Gears of War where you had to hit a certain. I think it was Gears of War. You had to hit a very specific spot on that slider to either reload or instantly reload, or you jam your gun.
Yeah.
And then you're at a disadvantage.
So you jam your hammer gun.
Got it.
Talked about the dual blades. I guess the biggest difference, those probably feel the most similar to Monster Hunter, dual blades. But okay. The biggest difference is the quote unquote super either pushes you or pulls you away from the monster.
Okay.
So if you're right next to the monster and you press R1, it completely kicks you back. So if you know the monster's tell, you R1, push yourself out, the monster stomps, you're completely out of the way.
Sure.
And then as soon as it stops, you can use your super again, press R1, and it does the God of War thing where it just brings you right next to the monster.
Okay.
Which is really awesome. And that is built off of like your hit combo, so it's not like you just always can push and pull. Just you build that up.
Yeah.
Like any other of the ultimates. There's the axe.
Okay.
Which feels the most like the hammer to me. The axe has the greatsword thing, where you plant your feet, charge, mash down. Also, for the record, the sword in this game is nothing like the greatsword. There is no charge.
No,
it's just slashing.
Just slashing and then beams.
Yeah. So it has one of the buttons is the greatsword thing, where you plant your feet, you charge up, you smash. The other thing is the exact hammer thing, where you charge up and you can run with the charge, and that uses your stamina. So that's that like felt to like the hammer to me.
Okay.
It's super literally you just throw the axe.
Oh.
And it like cuts through the monster, and if you time it right, by the time the axe gets back to you, if you press the L1 again, you jump in the air and you grab the axe and you smash into the monster. It's like some real God of War, real cool stuff happening.
I'm assuming that's your favorite weapon.
Oh yeah, it feels real good.
Okay.
It feels really, really, really good. It's great. Although it feels weird in the aspect of the three weapons I just described are so fast compared to this weapon.
Sure.
That it sometimes feels like you're at a disadvantage, because even though the numbers are real bigger, like if you miss, you miss.
Yeah.
Because these monsters in this game, I feel like, are faster. All the weapons are faster. The mobility is faster. And this weapon is like a lot faster than a hammer, but it feels very slow compared to the other three.
Okay.
And then the final weapon is a pike, which I guess is like a lance without the shield.
Sure.
Which I thought
I assumed it would be similar to like insect glaive without the insect.
There's no jumping. I mean, you can jump. There's a jump button in this game.
Yeah.
It does the whole like poke, 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 like the quick jabs.
Oh yeah.
It does a thing where if you're running, you can hold the attack button and then, they like lance javelin the monster.
Oh, like charge.
Charge. Which... Yeah. And then the other thing is while you're building up your combo, there's a meter that builds up, and then you can press L1 to then store that as a bullet.
Oh.
And then you can fire the
bullet jabs, huh?
Yeah, you can then just fire a giant bullet at it. So it's kind of like the gun lance, except more lancy, I guess.
Okay.
No shield.
Yeah.
It feels very fast and fluid like the other ones, which I actually have really liked that one because I like the running stab.
Yeah.
I clearly like running with weapons and being able to use my weapons while running.
Right.
And then there's a gun in this game.
Just straight up just a gun.
It's a gun that it's very bow gunny in the fact that you can customize it.
Is it just called gun?
I don't think so, but I've only used it once, so I can't really talk about it.
Okay.
So there's 6 weapons total compared to the 14.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that this whole game feels a little bit more fast and fluid than Monster Hunter, but it still feels really good. There's no carving.
What's the point then?
You can chop off tails.
I did see that,
You can break parts.
Yep.
You can see...
I didn't know what to do, though. We chopped the tail off, and I was like, oh, that's it? We just...
Yeah, so apparently in the beta, they had the carving.
Okay.
But they removed it, because I guess, from what I've heard, I can't verify this, that people would spend time carving the tail and not fighting the monster, and then they would die.
Oh, like Monster Hunter.
Or people would lose the tail, because the monster does move.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get back to the tail in time to get the rewards.
Okay.
So they literally just give you all the rewards. Like, when you kill the monster, the fight is over. There's no carve. It just shows you all the
just
loot.
Just rolls all your loot.
Which I then thought about in the sense of, like, obviously our show is named The Carve, and obviously, like, getting loot from a monster is fun.
Yeah.
But it is just there's nothing special to it. You're just holding the square button 3 times.
Sure. I think that there is, I mean, I think
I'm not
with
saying
certain
they should
aspects
cut it,
of...
I'm just saying that there's a convenience of being like, okay, cool, we saved 60 seconds. I don't have to go through the same thing I do 200 hunts.
Sure. I think that, personally, there are aspects between the two that I like and dislike. I think that the survival aspect of Monster Hunter lends more to the lore and atmosphere of the game, like tracking the monster, hunting the monster, killing it, and then physically carving it.
Yeah.
Those things feel more cohesive for the theme and the atmosphere that they're trying to make with Monster Hunter. I think that Dauntless feels, not that this is a bad thing, not that this is a negative necessarily, but I think it feels more streamlined for a casual audience.
Mm.
I think it feels more like if you are, what's the best analogy that I can conjure for this? Maybe something along the lines of like the mobile version of another game where it just spits everything out for you and you just have the core gameplay and that's it. And everything else is pretty much done for you.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but I like the atmosphere. I like the survival aspects. I like feeling like I'm a hunter.
I think Dauntless could have all that. Like you could there probably is lore about the monsters and the world, and there is clearly a story they're trying to tell. I skipped all through it.
Yeah.
Because that font is unreadable on a TV. but there is something, there's something rewarding about both games. Like, I agree with you. Like, the first time, like, you go and explore a world and you're walking around and you see the monster for the first time, and then it feels very, like, it feels extremely rewarding after 45 minutes to be like, I killed it.
Yeah.
But, man, does it suck if you spend 45 minutes and you fail.
Sure. I understand that.
It's awful.
I mean, I guess that also goes back to that same discussion about there being two types of levels of enjoyment, like with something like Dark Souls, where some people just love that feeling of having to re-strategize after failing multiple times, and then the feeling that they get after finally having succeeded in beating it or killing the thing or whatever.
No, I don't think anything is good or bad, but when, like, I guess I, like, Dauntless for me has scratched an itch that Monster Hunter hasn't in a while.
Sure.
Because when I think Monster Hunter, I think, okay, what am I going to hunt? There's no one online right now because I have the worst sleep schedule in the entire world. So I'm going to be playing at 3 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah.
So no one's on. I don't prefer hunting by myself. What am I going to hunt? Okay, if I hunt with randoms, we're probably not going to be able to do this. And if we do, it's going to be like 45 minutes. And then what if I don't get what I want? Whereas like Dauntless right now, and maybe because I'm still early game, is I'm hunting everything in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's start to finish.
Yeah.
Whereas like Monster Hunter is like, oh, it might take, you know, 2 minutes to find the monster. It's going to run, blah, blah, blah. And they run in Dauntless and stuff. There's something like very nice to be able to. Also, Dauntless gives me the feeling of like I can switch weapons and I feel good.
Yeah.
And I have the resources to switch weapons.
Sure.
And they do a thing where like your first two hunts of the day, you get all this bonus material, which is really great. Which I guess like Monster Hunter has the vouchers, but
yeah.
Maybe it's just like the honeymoon period where I'm like, okay, well, I have all of my axes. I don't have any of my pikes, so I'm going to do my bonuses for the Terra, the grass, so I can then build a pike, a grass pike, and now I have all of this. Or, oh, I'm missing, you know, shock armor, so I'm going to do my first two hunts for this. Maybe it's that simplicity right now is, like, super nice.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's definitely something to be said about streamlining.
I mean,
process.
Monster Hunter World is very streamlined compared to For You.
Oh, yeah,
and
totally.
There was a lot of complaints about that, of like, oh, I can go to base camp to get more stuff, or I no longer have a pickaxe, or...
Yeah.
There's a lot of things streamlined for it.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely way further streamlined than Monster Hunter World is. And I think it's okay for these things to coexist, though. Like, I think it's okay for something to be a super streamlined... I don't mean this in like a derogatory way, but I think it's okay for something to be streamlined to such a casual extent, like that it's easy to casually pick it up, play through it very quickly for the day, and then move on with your life.
Well, yeah, I think some people want one or two 15-minute hunts.
Sure.
They don't want to sit down for 45 minutes because, one, they might not have time, and two, going back to the 45-minute thing, you're right, like... failing a 45-minute thing sucks. Being able to do it again and succeed feels amazing, and it makes that first 45-minute failure less of a big deal.
Sure.
I don't have 90 minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm walking away from a 45-minute hunt that I failed,
And I think the
like that really
argument for that is if you are putting in a level of time and effort into being good at Monster Hunter and strategizing properly, you can do those 45 minute hunts in 15 minutes if you're good at it. If you know what you're doing and you know specifically what weapon to use and you know the tells for what moveset is coming from the monster, you know all of those things. I mean, we've seen really, really talented people do really difficult hunts in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that possibility is there. I just wonder what the long term is for Dauntless then when people become very, very good at that and hunts are taking like a minute or two.
Yeah.
Like, generally for just people who have been playing it for more than 100 hours.
I've gotten to the part in Dauntless where I've upgraded my stuff where it's asking for stuff where I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
I don't know like what this piece is, and I can't upgrade my axe anymore until I get this specific drop, and I don't know. I don't think I'm far enough in the game.
Okay.
To get that drop.
Sure.
I think I've been doing the same.
Same
couple monsters because I'm grinding for
behemoths.
Sir? I'm sorry. I've been doing the same couple daunts. The biggest thing, though, I think the biggest takeaway, which whether or not you walk away being like, I'm going to try Dauntless, I'm not interested in Dauntless, why is this podcast talking about Dauntless? I think the single most important thing is that it's free to play,
mm-hmm.
but not only that, it's free to play with any other system.
Yeah.
And that is such a big deal. It sucks that I cannot play with somebody on PC in Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Or Xbox.
Well, we saw that when it launched and we had people from our community who had purchased it on Xbox, and the majority of our community purchased it on PS4, and the people with the Xbox version had pretty much nobody to play with.
Yep. And then what happens, and this happens with all video games, is you have no one to play with, you stop playing.
Yeah.
If I sign on to Dauntless, if my choice tonight is Dauntless or Monster Hunter, there will at least be probably two or three people playing Dauntless tonight, and no one will be playing Monster Hunter. So that's like another easy choice for me.
Sure.
I'm not going to progress in Dauntless, because I'm so far ahead of other people.
Yeah.
But at least I'm playing with other people.
Yeah, I agree. I am a strong, regardless of whichever way your decision swings on Dauntless versus Monster Hunter, I will always be a strong proponent of cross-platform play if it's an online game. If it's if it's competitive or it's cooperative, especially if it's cooperative, there should be cross-platform play. And I hope that this opens that up for Capcom to look into doing that for Monster Hunter, because that's such an important thing in modern gaming, that cross-platform exists. And we're seeing more people lean into that, and it's happening more and more, but it's something that I think Monster Hunter in specific can really, really benefit from, is if they have cross-platform playability for any with anybody. I think it would be great to have that, and I think they need to. This should be the one takeaway for them.
Yes.
From Dauntless, that this is something that they can do and that they should improve upon.
Right.
It should be the cross-platform.
Yeah. If Monster Hunter wants to stay with the longer hunts, the more complicated weapons, the feeling underpowered, I have no complaints. I love all of that.
Yeah.
And Dauntless is doing something different in that regards, but I feel like at this point now, like, whether Iceborne has it or doesn't have it, I feel like that's something they need to like address. And I don't know what the logistics are, but I don't know how a free-to-play game like Dauntless becomes the first game to launch with crossplay.
Yeah.
I don't know what hoops Capcom has to jump in, but I don't see why Sony or Microsoft would be like, well, your Monster Hunter game doesn't qualify.
Historically, Sony has been the problem.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So there may be some pushback in that regard to something as big as Monster Hunter World. Maybe they don't want to, especially because it seems to be that a vast majority of the player base is on, for console at least, is on PS4. Maybe they see that as a disadvantage for them as far as like a business strategy to open that up. But that's, you know,
there was exclusive PlayStation Plus Dauntless stuff. just cosmetic, but if you had PlayStation Plus, you got free cosmetics.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know what that looks like. I wonder what a PC player's... I'm sure they see it.
I'm sure they
just don't.
I'm sure there's probably Xbox exclusive stuff, too.
I'm sure they just don't get
PC
to,
exclusive
like...
stuff.
They see it. They probably just don't get to wear it.
Sure. I mean, realistically, you could probably log into your Dauntless on each console if you have that console, buy the exclusive gear, and then just use it.
Another thing is if you have a Monster Hunter, or sorry, a Dauntless account on PS4, you can log into that same Dauntless account on PC.
Yep.
And pick up where you left off.
I would absolutely love that.
That is not a thing for Monster Hunter.
Hopefully that's the like one big takeaway from this the competition that Dauntless presents for Monster Hunter.
But also I like to wrap up this conversation, I think like Dauntless is not a Monster Hunter world killer. And I don't think Hunter is not a Dauntless. Like, I don't think Iceborne instantly kills Dauntless. I think they can both be fine, just like Mario Kart and...
Yeah, I think they can coexist.
Crash Bandicoot.
I mean,
Mario Kart has...
Arguably, one of those two franchises has persisted much longer and more successfully than the other.
That's true.
That remains to be seen for Dauntless.
It definitely
feels like... All of the coverage that I've seen for it and the social media coverage for it, like Twitch, people playing Dauntless, and there's a lot of it, but it definitely feels like that honeymoon period where that has existed for many other games that are in a similar vein to pre-existing games, that there's like a honeymoon period for it, and that may or may not eventually just die out, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen.
Gives you something to do over the summer when you're waiting for Iceborne.
It's true, I suppose.
I started a hog ham guild on Dauntless.
The old hog ham.
You do not have to be online to accept.
Oh, interesting.
Or join the guild.
Oh. You have to be...
If I send an invite to you and then log off, it does not reject it like it does in Monster Hunter.
Interesting. Can we progress in the story together?
Yeah.
Do we have to wait for cutscenes?
I don't even know if there are cutscenes. If there are, I've skipped all of them.
Okay.
I don't think there are, though.
Yeah, I don't think there are either.
I think you just get the bad papyrus font in the town hall and it's unbearable to read. That was our 100th episode.
A lot of Dauntless.
It's a game where you hunt monsters.
we still got, Gormagala.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let's wrap it up here. With our Monster of the Week. This week's monster is Gormagala.
Gormagala, one of my favorites. Should I read this in Brian Ayers?
No.
Ayers? Okay, all right.
You throw your voice box off.
Gormagala is a very unique wyvern, sharing traits and similarities to that of the Elder Dragons, possessing six limbs, including the clawed wings on its back. Though its overall appearance and stance resembles a quadrupedal wyvern, like the Nargacuga, its body is covered in dark exoskeleton plates, with notable features including the hidden feelers that are folded alongside its face. The lack of visible eyes and fang jaws that are actually part of its external armor plates. The other unique part is its wings, which are covered in a jet black fur that resembles a tattered and ragged cape. The claws on its wings are extremely prehensile and even seem to possess opposable thumbs. They are used for grabbing, helping at running, and maintaining stability. When not engaged in combat, Gormagala tends to cloak its body with its wings by latching them onto its back.
Gormagala first appeared in the 2015 game Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. And it has last appeared in Monster Hunter Frontier Z. Is Frontier the
F's
one shutting down?
F's in the chat for Frontier.
The F is for...
F is for Frontier.
Frontier. You really like Gormagala.
I do. I think it's a cool concept.
I have the little Gormagala statue. I don't know where it is. The one that came with the 3DS version.
Oh, yeah.
I think Gore's okay.
Pre-order bonus. I love the concept of a monster that can't see anything and it has feelers, and it's got like a, it's like a weird blind vampire.
Did you know that Gore Magala is the first flagship monster capable of infecting other monsters?
I didn't know that, but I guess that totally makes sense. I didn't think about that before.
You know, Gore Magala requires HG earplugs to block.
Yes.
There's like a lot of trivia about it, but a lot of it is like that HG earplugs stuff.
Yeah. It's a cool monster. I like it. And I'm hoping that this monster of the week conjures it into Iceborne.
Here, we're going to leave you with this fact about Gore Magala.
Yeah, give me.
You're going to appreciate it. We're going to wrap off episode 100 with this.
Okay.
Gore Magala appears in the comic crossover Sonic the Hedgehog / Mega Man Worlds Unite, first appearing in issue 10 of the comic Sonic Boom.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate that.
If you want to follow the podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Carve Podcast. If you want to follow myself on Twitter at Dragging a Like, Micah is at Micah the Brave. If you want to celebrate, you listened to all 100 episodes, or maybe you started off with this one, and you want to celebrate your celebrate our 100th episode, if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcast, tell us what, I don't know, tell us your favorite part of the episode. Tell us what episode is your favorite.
Yeah.
Just hit the five stars. 5 Gore Magalas out of 5.
Yeah. Because it's a five star hunt.
Yeah, we would really appreciate that. It helps out. Otherwise, you can, again, if this was your first episode, you can listen to The Carve wherever you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, etc. If you did not notice, Micah did some brand new album art for the podcast, and it's a little bit chilly.
Got to dress up for episode 100.
We're dressing up for episode 100 and going forward, so we'll have some new album art going forward. And I think that's our episode. Carvepodcast.com, I think I said that. Otherwise, hunters.
Yeah.
Keep on hunting those monsters.
And guess what?
What?
Keep on carving those monsters.
Whoa.
100 episodes.